He uses another key, and a secret word that my ears refuse to hear, to open the inner armory door. I follow Andy inside. One wall is racked with guns, another is walled with ammunition lockers, and the opposite wall is racked with more esoteric items. It's this that he turns to. "A prank," I echo, and yawn, against my better judgment. "Jesus, it's 4:30 in the morning, and you got me out of bed because of a student prank." "Listen." Andy stops and glares at me, irritated. "Remember how you came aboard? That was me getting out of bed at 4 in the morning because of a student prank." "Oh," is all I can say to him. "Sorry" springs to mind, but is probably inadequate. As they later pointed out to me, applied computational demonology and built-up areas don't mix very well. I thought I was just generating weird new fractals. They knew I was dangerously close to landscaping Wolverhampton with alien nightmares. "What kind of students?" I ask.
"Architecture or alchemy. Nuclear physics for an outside straight."
Another word of command and Andy opens the sliding glass case in front of some gruesome relics that positively throb with power.
"Come on. Which of these would you like?"
"I think I'll take this one, thanks." I reach in and carefully pick up a silver locket on a chain. There's a yellow and black thaumaturgy hazard trefoil on a label dangling from it, and no pull ribbons attached to the clasp.
"Good choice."
Andy watches me in silence as I add a hand of glory to my collection, and then a second protective amulet.
"That's all?" he asks.
"That's all," I say, and he nods and shuts the cupboard, then renews the seal on it.
"Sure?"
he asks. I look at him. Andy is a slightly built 40-something guy. Thin, wispy hair, tweed sports jacket with leather patches at the elbows, and a perpetually worried expression. Looking at him, you'd think he was an open university lecturer, not a managerial-level spook from the laundry's active service division. But that goes for all of them, doesn't it? Angleton looks more like a Texan oil company executive with tuberculosis than the legendary and terrifying head of the counter-possession unit. And me? I look like a refugee from CodeCon or a dot-com startup's engineering department, which just goes to show that appearances and a euro will get you a cup of coffee. "What does this code blue look like to you?" I ask. He sighs tiredly, then yawns.
"Damn, it's infectious," he mutters. "Listen, if I tell you what it looks like to me, Angleton will have my head for a doorknob. Let's just say, read those files on the way over, okay? Keep your eyes open, count the concrete cows, then come back safe."
Count the cows, come back safe, check. I sign the clipboard, pick up my arsenal, and he opens the armory door. "How am I getting there?" Andy cracks a lopsided grin.
"By police helicopter. This is a code blue, remember?"
I go up to the committee room, collect the papers, and then it's down to the front door, where the same police patrol car is waiting for me. More brown pants motoring. This time the traffic is a little thicker, dawn is only 1.5 hours away, and we end up in the northeast suburbs, following the roads to Lippitt's Hill, where the police ASU keep their choppers. There's no messing around with check-in and departure lounges. We drive round to a gate at one side of the complex, show our warrant cards, and my chauffeur takes me right out onto the heliport and parks next to the ready room, then hands me over to the flight crew before I realize what's happening.
"You're Bob Howard?" asks the co-pilot.
"Up here, hop in."
He helps me into the back seat of the twin squirrel, sorts me out with a seatbelt, then hands me a bulky headset and plugs it in.
"We'll be there in 1/2 hour, he says. "You just relax, try to get some sleep."
He grins sardonically, then shuts the door on me and climbs in up front. Funny, I've never been in a helicopter before. It's not quite as loud as I'd expected, especially with the headset on, but as I've been led to expect something like being rolled down a hill in an oil drum while maniacs whack on the sides with baseball bats, that isn't saying much. Get some sleep, indeed. Instead, I bury my nose in the so-secret reports on Game Andy's Redshift and try not to upchuck as the pre-dawn London landscape corkscrews around outside the huge glass windscreen and then starts to unroll beneath us.